David and put the first slide up tonight. Just remain standing, and we're going to talk to you tonight on the subject of a few good men. This afternoon, I had a knock on my door, which rarely happens, at 5862 Lamb Road, and Wayne and Fran Jenkins stopped by to introduce themselves to me. And the reason they stopped by is because I had preached at a church that some of their best friends attend, the Turners, up at the Emmanuel Pentecostal Holiness Church in Dry Fork, Virginia. And when I preached up there several times in revival at Swansonville, they're just such a beautiful couple, the Turners up there in Danville, Virginia. They told me they had some friends that had lived in Wilson and attended the Shiloh Church. Well, today I met the friend of my friends, and I'm so glad to have the Jenkins with us here tonight. Let's give them a big welcome. They didn't have church tonight. I enjoyed our meeting them in a conversation. We talked to him and almost bought his Ford car today, Pastor. I'm telling you, I was about to make him an offer. He had a beautiful 2015 Ford. Amen. Just bright and shiny. And I'm just getting motivated by the moment here. Darnell needs an upgrade. And I'm like, don't you think from a Nissan to a Ford is an upgrade? Can I get a witness out there? I didn't get some of you were quiet on that one. But I noticed when I got home today that there was a lot of cars, folks at the Shiloh Church. And I said, Darnell, I think they had lunch today at Shiloh. And the Jenkins confirmed it. And if I'd known that, I'd have gone and ate lunch over there today. Amen. Because it's right across the road. And I rent the house from them until we buy or build us a house. And we're still planning to buy a house. We're just hoping and praying Darnell will get a good school teaching job next school year. I just would rather her be settled in a good, solid position that she knows she'll be there for many years to come. And I like Simon Shabinga, when I gave that offering that morning, all of you saw that, and he said the Lord was going to make a way, amen? And so I'm excited about the future, because you may not know how, and you may not know when, but what church? He'll do it again. He'll do it again. And I've got a sermon on that, and my goodness, if I'd known you were going to sing that, I would have pulled that out tonight. Amen. But tonight, I want to continue on with the theme of the 4th of July and kind of tag what the pastor preached. And I want to talk to you tonight about a few good men. And I want you to go to the next slide, Brother David, as we read Judges chapter 7. And we're going to read just seven verses of Scripture, and then you'll be able to sit down for a while. And again, so good to see all of you here tonight. Just God is up to something. Amen. Adam, it's always good to have you, my brother. Yes. Judges chapter 7, verse 1. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Horeb, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Mori in the valley. Verse 2, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Next slide. Now, therefore, verse 3, now, therefore, go, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained how many? Next slide. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go, the same shall not go. Next slide. So he brought down the people into the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. Next slide. And the number of them that lapped, putting forth their hand to their mouth. Listen, were how many? How many? Is that a misprint? How many thousands of the Midianites? Where did, let me go back and check. Well, how many was it? How much? No, how many of the Midianites? How many was the enemy? Praise God. Doesn't say, does it? But it does tell us in another place. It's 32,000. So go, and the number of them that lapped, putting forth their hand into their mouth, were 300. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped, will I save you and to deliver the Midianites into thine hand and let all the other people go unto his place. I want to speak to you tonight on the next slide, a few good men. Father, tonight, thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our church. Thank you for what you're doing in our country. And I ask you tonight, Lord, to anoint your servant. Lord, may I decrease and may you increase. May the word of the Lord have free course tonight, Father. Thank you for your word, and we'll give you the praise for all that shall be accomplished in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. And as you're being seated, tell somebody you're looking pretty, and God bless you tonight. Amen. I want you to know, Commander Phillip, that your name was discussed at my house today. Amen. Oh, I heard something about teaching Sunday school and for many years. Amen. I heard a lot of things. I'll tell you about it later. Amen. Praise God. If you love the Lord tonight, say amen. Amen. As we think about the condition of our country, as we think about the breakdown of the home, the needs in our church, as we think about the overwhelming odds, as we think about this being the week that we celebrate our independence, what is the answer? What is the hope? What is the need for the hour? I believe that the answer and the hope and the need for the hour, here it is found in this phrase, a few good men. Say that with me, a few good men. Now, right at the outset, I want to tell you that I'm referring to male and female. I'm going to say a few good men because of the cliche, but you ladies, we're counting you part of mankind. Amen. And we're talking about godly men and godly women. When I think about the fact that in post 9/11 America, that we put more people in prison than any other country in the world, we have 1 million teenagers to run away from home every year. Suicide is now the second leading cause of death among teenagers. And you that teach teenagers and young people, you need to address suicide periodically in your lessons. Almost 3 million children a year will be reported as being abused, missing, or abducted. And that's not even to talk about the problems that we have with drugs, alcohol, racism, and the breakdown of the family. It sounds like to me that like never before, that God needs and the church needs and our country needs, one more time, a few good men. In 1775, the U.S. Marine Corps was founded and they adopted as their recruiting slogan, "We're looking for, Pastor, a few good men." And I believe that God is looking for some spiritual Marines who have courage to stand and fight the battle. Now, we appreciate men and women of our armed forces, and we appreciate all of their gallantry in the face of hardship. We appreciate all the risks that our military take. But I want to tell you, there's something every now and then that's called for special forces. Somebody say special forces. And if God could get some special forces with some spiritual weapons to follow the commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ, I'm here to tell you the results would be greater than shock and awe. Are y'all with me here tonight? I mean shock and awe. And awe. You remember that the first night of the Iraq war? It was shock and awe. And I believe it will shock us all if we will come together and we will bind together and we will believe together and we will pray together. I believe that it will shock us all what God will do with just a few good men. I wish somebody would give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight for a few good men. Now, when you think about it, how did the founding of our nation come about? On the next slide. How did the founding of our nation come about? Was it because we had the biggest army? Was it because we had a huge surplus of money? Was it because we had the greatest superiority? I'll tell you how our country was founded. There it is. It took a few good men. Somebody say amen. Now tonight we're reading from the story of Gideon. You learned about it in Sunday school, many of you. Gideon and the Midianites. And you remember the story? Gideon thought he had too few soldiers. And God said, "No, son, you've got too many." You see, God begins to whittle the numbers down. And what God needs, and I say to you today, is just a few good men. Not the biggest army, but the best army. And I want to give you some things tonight and show you how that for us to have a few good men, how do we have a few good men? How do we get that army where God can use it and where He can bring forth the victory? Let me tell you on the next slide. First of all, you get a few good men. First of all, you on the next slide, you excuse the cowards. You excuse the cowards. Now, that's exactly what we want to do in our military, isn't it? We want to excuse. I mean, we got the next slide up, Brother David. Let's go ahead and press that button and stay with me. I may not have put it up there. Just let me know if you've got it. But anyway, point one, excuse the cowards. Now, we don't want people. You got it, brother? Just give me a thumbs up when you get it. Amen. Now, see, you see, we desperately need a monitor so we can see on the back wall. And I'm looking at Best Buy for a good one. Amen. Praise God. Somebody help me say amen to that tonight. Now, see, listen, I mean, the Marines is no place for cowards. The Navy is no place for cowards. The Air Force and the Army is no place for cowards. You see, you don't want an army full of cowards. And I don't think that God's army is a place for a coward. Now, Gideon started with an army of 32,000. Somebody say 32,000. Now, here's the number of the Midianites. The Midianites had an army of 135,000. Now, I want you to get that picture. There's 32,000 against 135,000. That is an odds of 4-1. 4-1 odds. And Gideon is fretting. Gideon is saying, I don't have enough men. But God was saying, oh no, Gideon, it's not that you don't have enough men. You just don't have the right men. You've got too many of the wrong men. Now, why would God say that? Because let me just give you a principle here tonight. God wants to get all the glory. Can you say amen? God wants to get all the glory. God wanted to get the victory here. And if all those people, listen, if those 32,000 people had gone against the Midianites, those 32,000 people would have just vaunted themselves. They would have thought, ha, look what we did, us 32,000. Look at us. We're bad to the bone. Some of you that are 40 and older know exactly what I'm talking about. The rest of you just go on YouTube and you see what bad to the bone is all about. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all ever heard that song? Bad to the bone. I mean, if they had gone with 32,000, even at that low number, and had defeated the enemy, they would have had some pride issues. But let me tell you something tonight, church. God is interested in sharing His glory with absolutely no one. On the next slide, Isaiah 42:8 says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. God wants us to be able to say in the battle, Lord, you did this, and to you go the glory, and to you go through the praise. The next slide, God wants us to be able to look and say, this was the Lord's doing, and marvelous in our eyes. God can take one little David and bring down a Goliath. It's not what man can do in his numbers, it's what God can do with a few good men, and to Him be the glory. And it's marvelous when somebody gets saved. It's marvelous when somebody gets delivered from crack cocaine. It's marvelous when your backslidden son walks down that aisle and gives their life to Jesus. I'm here to tell you today, God is looking for, and it can happen when we rally a few. Listen, God was going to give Gideon the victory, but God was never going to give Gideon the glory. God wants to give the church the victory, but all the glory has to go to the Lord of glory. His name is Jesus. If you sing pretty, thank God for it, but it's God that gets the glory. Amen. If you wax eloquent in the pulpit and preach, it is God giving you the victory, but you must give all the glory back to God, because he holds your breath in His hands. We can take no credit for our salvation, no credit for our ministry. It all I wish we'd just stand up and take a praise break and give Him glory in this house tonight. I said, all the glory, all it, to God be the glory, to God be the glory. for Westmoreland Church. Great things he has done. Not a business that I built. It's a business God built through me. Amen. If we're not careful, we could be like that Georgia woodpecker. He was pecking away on a big, thick Georgia pine. And while he was pecking on that, lightning bolt burst out of the blue and hit that huge pine tree and split that tree in half. Right while he was pecking on it, split that tree in half. Well, the woodpecker flew off, and a few minutes later, they saw him flying back with 10 other woodpeckers, saying, "There it is, gentlemen, right over there." Somebody say, it all belongs to God. God was trimming this thing down. Look at the next slide. Judges chapter 7 and verse 3. "Now therefore, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early. And their return of the people, 22,000, there remain 10,000. In other words, God was saying, anybody scared? Just go home. 22,000 people turned around and went home. He excused the cowards. They didn't want to fight. They didn't have fight in them. I believe God said, good riddance. See you later. Na, 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 na. Hey, goodbye. We don't need you. Listen, those two. In fact, on the next slide, God actually provided for this. In Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 8, look at Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 8. It says, "And the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, what man is there fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return to his house. Watch this. Lest his brethren's heart..." Did you know fear is contagious? Did you know doubt is contagious? Did you know being negative is contagious? You better be very careful about your disposition when it comes to the things of God. I don't walk around saying, well, I'm never going to get that job. I don't walk around saying, well, always the light turns red when I'm coming through it. Now, I struggle with it, but I'm telling you, it seems like that. But I'm not. You've got to be careful because fear and doubt is contagious. I love the atmosphere of Westmoreland. When we walk in, how are you doing? I'll tell you how I'm doing. I am blessed and highly favored of God. Somebody say amen tonight. You can't grow a church with that kind of fear. You can't reach Wilson with that kind of timidity. I know that the Muslims are rising. I know that the gays are coming out of the closet. I know we almost lost an election last fall. But let me tell you, we got to quit talking fear. We are the church of the living God. And God is looking for a few good men and a few good women. And brother, we can turn this... Through God, we can turn this thing around. All Westmoreland needs, and all Shiloh Church needs, and all any church needs, and all every home needs, is a few good men. Their battles must be fought. Victory must be won. If you want an army that will fight to win, you must excuse the cowards. Go to the next slide. One man was being honored on a ship. And there he was on the ship, and everybody was singing his praises, and they asked him to get up and speak. And the reason is because earlier that day, a woman had fallen off the ship. And just like that, this man, 70 years old, got off the ship, jumped into the icy waters, and saved that woman, and she was safe and sound. She's sitting up there on the stage, and they called the man, and this 70-year-old man that jumped into the water, saved this woman. They asked him to say a few words. And they were celebrating. They said, man, he jumped into the icy cold waters. He risked his life to save this woman who was dying, who fell off the ship. And so they said, sir, do you have anything to say? He said, yes, I'd like to know who pushed me off. And I'll tell you, being a pastor for 20 years, I feel like I have to push people sometimes. I need to push you to teach Sunday school. I need to push you to pull up those weeds you were talking about and fluff those, that pine straw. I need to push you to be here on time, you know, and greet the people as they're coming in, and push you to kind of to do things. Listen, I'm not talking about Westmont. I'm talking about all churches. It just seems like we're busy. We got things to do. Let me tell you something. There is nothing more important than the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything else out there is really to support everything in here. Amen. Because this is where eternity is made. This is where souls are saved. And my goodness, we don't want to have people. We got to push into it. We need to excuse the cowards. And we need to say it's time. Listen, God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Have I got a few good men here tonight? Say, Pastor, I'm not going to have to push me in. I'm here to show up for duty. And I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to be bold and be strong, for the Lord my God is with me, and through my God I can leap over a wall and run through a troop, and I can charge hell with a water pistol. I'm going to tell the devil that he's not having my family, he's not having my country, he's not having my church. I just want to be one of the few, the proud, the bold, the brave, a few good men. Number two, not only excuse the cowards, let them on, let them go. Fear is contagious. But you also have to exclude. Let's go to point two, my brother. We've skipped down to point three. Right, point two, we must exclude the careless. Now, he had 10,000. He started at 32,000, facing 135,000. Odds were 4-1. Say amen. Now he's down to 10,000. And the odds are now 14-1. Let me explain that so you can understand. That means for every 14 people, there was one person to fight them. Now, so, I don't know how I can handle half of a person sometimes. But 14? Oh, but God said you still need a few good men. You mean there's, you know, that's not enough. God said, no, you got too many still. The Lord said, Gideon, your army is still too big. We've got to get it smaller. God is saying, I want to, watch this, a lean, mean fighting machine. So God gives a test. He has all of those men who have been marching all day long and in the hot sun come to a lake. One group gets on its knees and buries its face in the water, oblivious to everything else going around them. And the other group picks up its hand and drinks it like this. And God said, those who buried their face, send them on home. What? Why? Because they were careless. Careless. When they buried their face, they lost sight of the possible enemy. And so the careless ones exclude them. And when God did that, they went from 10,000 to 300. 300 to 135,000. Listen, you mean to tell me that for simply kneeling down and burying your head in the water, for that simple thing, I get dismissed? Absolutely, you get dismissed. Man, it doesn't seem like such a big deal. You know, one drinks water this way, another drinks water that way. But it was a big deal. Let me tell you, Michelangelo was working on a statue one afternoon, and some friends visited him. And a month later, they returned and found he was still working on the same statue. They said, what have you been doing since our last visit? He said, oh, I've smoothed the line here, and I polished an arm there. I've taken a few flakes of marble from the forehead and so on. And they said, but that's only trifles. Is that all you've done? And Michelangelo replied, they may be trifles, but trifles make perfection. And perfection is no trifle. You see, it's the little things that make for the big things. And if you want to get the big things right, you got to get the little things right. I figured y'all be mighty quiet about this stretch of the message right here. You see, that's exactly what's going on here. God said, you've got to get the little thing. Tell somebody, you've got to get the little things right. We cannot be careless. We must be sober. We must be vigilant. We must plan ahead, think ahead, pray ahead. We must dot every I and cross every T. We must make sure that everything is in order. Everything is ready because lives are at stake. Souls are. It is important when we go by God's plan and the plan of His church. We must always be alert. Listen, there are two dangers in every war. There's overestimating the enemy, which makes you a coward. In other words, you think the enemy is more than he is. How many of you know the devil is a roaring lion? He is a powerful foe. But don't you ever overestimate the devil, because at the name of Jesus Christ, he must obey. And when the devil comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. We have a powerful foe. We have a very wise and powerful, a very cunning foe. Don't underestimate him, but don't you dare overestimate him, because so many times the devil gets people afraid to step out and move forward. But we have power in the name of Jesus. And God is looking for a few good men to stand up and say, devil, I'm coming after you, and I'm going to take back what you stole from me, and I'm going to be all that God wants me to be. Don't you overestimate the devil. But don't you underestimate him either. That's being careless. We need to wise up. When it comes to the TV shows we let our children watch, it's just a kid's show. I want to know the kid's show. I want to know what the language is. I want to know what the point, because you're not going to watch even a Disney movie that doesn't have some kind of point to it. They're trying to make some subliminal message. You got to be careful what kid. You don't underestimate that enemy. Well, my teenager, I trust them. They can spend the night at my friend's house. Oh, I know they'll never misbehave. I'm telling you that I've pastored long enough to know they'll come to my office and say, Pastor, I can't believe that they did. What happened, honey? You underestimated not your child, but you underestimated the devil that can come against that child. You ought to be strong for your kids. You ought to have boundaries and say, by the way, on Sunday at church, Sunday night at church. Quiet out there. Quiet out there. Where's my cell phone? I'm going to call and see if anybody wants to order pizza right now. Because I believe somebody needs a little help right now. Amen. Don't underestimate the enemy. Amen. Don't underestimate the enemy on your job. When there's young ladies that work there in the office, and you're in your middle age, and they like to talk to you, and you kind of like to talk to them, you're underestimating the enemy. I'm not talking to some 20-something. I got a woman to talk to when I go home at night if I have a conversation I want to have. Praise God. Amen. We underestimate the enemy. Well, I'll just stay out of church this Sunday. It ain't going to hurt anything. You're underestimating the devil. Amen. And by the way, there's a world to be fought. You can't be sleeping in. And so, you know, it's amazing. We get up 6 days a week, but one day a week we can't get out of bed. What's wrong with that? You're backslid. That's what's wrong with it. And you underestimated the devil. I was glad when they said, and this is old-fashioned holiness preaching. Amen. Let us go into the house of the Lord. I'm telling you, I'm not going to overestimate him. I'm not going to underestimate him, but I'm going to put on the whole armor of God, and I'm going to salute my commander in chief. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to say, yes, Lord, I am here for duty, and you can count on me. I'm going to be what you want me to be through the power of the Lord. Can you say amen? We can't be careless about what we look at, what we listen to, or how we live. And so many people God could use in a much mightier way if we weren't so careless. You see, these people were not interested, and they were more interested in comfort than conquest, and quenching their thirst than in defeating their enemy. You see, if we're going to win in this battle for our nation, for our church, for our family, number one, we must excuse the cowards. We must exclude the careless. Now, point three, we must enlist the committed. There they are. Anybody going to want to be enlisted tonight? Hallelujah. This third group, 300, knelt down by the lake, scooped up the water with their hands, and drank. And while they were drinking, they kept their eyes peeled. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Watching out. They lapped from the water as a dog laps. Listen, I was reading about how Egyptian dogs drink water from the Nile River. The Nile is filled with alligator crocodiles. And the Egyptian dogs have learned out of fear of the crocodiles to lap the water while they're kind of running along the bank. Always keeping they're drinking, but boy, they're looking out for those eating crocodiles that could come out at any moment and kill them. Friend, these 300 men, they meant business. They were in it to win it. They were not fair weather patriots. Or, you know, Thomas Paine, when all those soldiers were about to quit because it was snowing in Pennsylvania and we hadn't won a battle. And Thomas Paine wrote that these are the times that try men's souls. Fair weather patriots are not going to win this call. We have a mighty foe, the British. But thanks be to God, there was a few men that had holes in their shoes and they didn't have enough warm clothes, but they weathered the storm and said, come hell or high water, if give me liberty or give me death, I'm going all the way. We're in this thing to win it. We're going to win the independence. I don't care how big the army is. We believe in a God who's bigger than any army. And we're going to see mountains be moved. We're going to see miracles take place. We're going to see revival in these last days. What we need is somebody to enlist, salute, and say, here I am, Lord. Use me. I want to be one of the few good men. They went down from 4-1, 14-1. Now their odds were 400-1. But listen, it's not all about quantity. It's all about quality. Because God plus one is a what? Woohoo! You know, army of Assyria. This isn't in my notes, by the way. This is just inspiration. 185,000 soldiers came against King Ahab, and man, they couldn't do anything with it. Was it King Ahab or Jehoshaphat? Hezekiah. Thank you, my brother. I tell you what, those 18 years over there that helped. Amen. That is awesome. Teaching Sunday. Hezekiah. That's right. They came against old Hezekiah, and Isaiah the prophet told Hezekiah, don't you worry about this. I'm going to take care of it. And overnight, it didn't say several angels. It said the angel of the Lord came through. And all 185,000 were dead and gone. I said, that's the 400-1 sounds bad, but let me tell you, God handled 185,000-1. That's pretty good if you got somebody say amen here tonight. Lenin. The founder of communism said this, we want fewer but better disciples. We want people, not people who will give us a spare evening once in a while, but people who will give us the whole of their lives. Lenin said that. And Lenin changed the world through the communist revolution and 100 years ago this year, the Bolshevik Revolution, where the czars of Russia were murdered and the world was never the same. My friend, God is looking and one can make a difference. David Livingston. I just read a book on David Livingston. It was a thick book. It took me a while to read it, and I learned Africa like I had never learned Africa before and the wildness of that country. But that one man bled for Africa and is the reason we have Christianity at all sub-Sahara Africa. William Carey, one man, had a picture of the world in a shoe shop. He was a shoemaker. And he had a map of India. And God moved upon his heart, and he hit this phrase, attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. He came up with that phrase. He's the father of the modern missionary movement, William Carey. Attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God. One, my great-grandmother, she built a little church in the country and took me on the front row. Sister Caroline Edwards, I was a child. Sister Caroline remembers because she was a young teenager and an adult, remembers how just one. And I remember sitting next to her, and it was time for her to preach, and she looked down at me and says, "You want to go with me?" And I remember looking up at her, and I just shook my head. I was a kid. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. But I went with her, and I remember standing behind the pulpit. I don't know if, Carolyn, if you ever saw that or if you were there that night. I remember that night. And I stood while she preached the gospel. You know what was happening? God was calling me to the minute, had called me in my mother's womb and was preparing me for the pulpit. Dwight Moody heard a preacher say, "The world has yet to see what God can do with one man totally committed to him." And Dwight Moody said, and I'm getting ready to come to a close. And Dwight Moody said in his heart, "By the grace of God, I will be that man." We need some people to enlist. Go to the next slide, because I really want you to catch this phrase here. It doesn't take much of a man to be a Christian. It just takes all of him. There he is. Somebody say all in.
All in.
We've got to be committed. Well, you say, "Brother Ricky, I'm involved." But I didn't ask you, are you involved? I want to know, are you committed? Because there's a difference between involvement and commitment. When I married Darnell on August the 4th, 1994... coming up on our wedding anniversary, 23 glorious, wonderful, happy years. Amen. All right. Just want to make sure that was coming. I did not go down to the altar and say, "I'm going to be involved with you, Darnell. I'll come over a few nights a week, but I'm going to have my own place, and I'll go out of town, and I'll call you when I get back in." No. When I walked down that altar, it was joined to the hip. "Whether thou goest, I go. And whether you are, I are." I don't know if I'm quoting that right. But your people will be my people. Your God. We came together. We are committed. Listen to this. Until death parts us, I will be free of my obligation when Darnell breathes her last breath. She will be free of her obligation when I breathe my last breath. We will rejoice together. We'll enjoy life together. Go on vacations together. We will be in each other's hospital room. We will care for each other's wounds. We will take each other's personal bodily needs. If there comes a time when I can't bathe myself, she will bathe me. It's not pleasant, but she is my wife. She is dedicated to me. She's not going to leave me in the hospital room while she's running up and around the road, going out to a club. She is committed to me. She better not anyway. You kill her if you see her out there. I'm just kidding. And I'm not going to do that to her. If she gets paralyzed from neck down and I have to wait on her bodily fluid. I'm just here to tell you, you better make sure when you get married and when you have a relationship that they're not just in it for the good times. I mean, they're not just involved. They are, honey, I love you. Nothing will take that away. We may have our tough times. We may get ill at each other, angry at each other. But when it all is said and done, I am, man, that's the commitment we need today in marriage. I wish somebody say amen. A lady came to Best Buy yesterday. This happens every now and then. And I'm embarrassed to say this. But she came to Best Buy yesterday. And she looked at me and she said, "Sir, you got the most beautiful blue eyes." I looked back at her and I said, "Ma'am, my wife thinks so too. Hallelujah." Don't don't you, baby? All right. Committed. Committed in marriage. Committed in parenting. Committed in church membership. Amen. I'm a member of the Westmoreland Pentecostal Church. And I'm enlisted. I'm not going to be a perfect. We're not looking for perfection. We're looking for commitment. And we're looking a little bit more than involvement. Now, there's a difference between commitment and involvement. Now, go to the next slide, and I'm going to close. Brother, if you come on up and... Y'all got it? Would you stand with me tonight? Then I don't need to say nothing to her. Just keep it up there. Hallelujah. Get ready to play. I'm going to let you know when to start. I'll tell you what. The hog was committed. The chicken was only involved. Amen, folks. For me to live is Christ. But to die is gain. I am crucified to the world. But nevertheless, I live. Not I, but Christ that lives in me. I'm crucified in Christ. Amen. I'm not pursuing the American dream. Do you know what the American dream is to me? Is to see churches on every street corner. And preachers in pulpits and souls saved. That's the American dream to me. Not the big house. And nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Praise God for prosperity. We are not anti-prosperity. You can be committed to God and prosperous at the same time. Amen, somebody. The problem is some people get blessed with prosperity and they lose their commitment. And that's the problem there. Amen. It's just a fact. God will bless you more and more as you put him first place in his life, in your life. Now listen, Gideon takes the 300 men. They go to the battle and they win the victory. But here's how it's done. Notice they didn't throw a spear. They didn't hew an arrow. They didn't hurl a rock. They didn't wield a sword. What did they do? At the command of God, they blew trumpets, broke pitchers, and barred the torches. That's all they did. Blew the trumpets, broke some pitchers, and barred up some torches. And they got the victory, but God got the glory. With the Lord before us, Jesus beside us, the Spirit within us, the Bible behind us, there is nothing that we cannot face. There is no war that we cannot win. God is looking. Go to that final slide. Look at this. A few good men. Hallelujah. Just hit that last one there. See that bottom picture? Now, they might not be quite as sharp as that top picture there. Some of y'all were laughing a little bit. But I tell you what, look at that man, Brother Tedder. That's one of the few good men right there. Amen, Brother Tedder. I salute you, my brother. Pastor Jerry Nelson, most people his age, if they danced like he danced, would break something. I'm telling you, that Brother Billy Lewis, is he here tonight? They might not could be able to be here tonight. Brother Eric, who's one of our new people. A man's getting ready to join this church. Amen. Brother Joey, Brother Wayne. And that looks like Brother Elam down there, is it? Brother Elam. A few good men. I want to sign up. I want to show up. I want to say, here am I. I may not can do a whole lot, but if I just need to blow a trumpet and break a pitcher, oh, it wasn't a big thing, but it was a God thing. Amen. Would you step out of your seat and as they're playing whatever, just come down to this aisle and say, Lord, I want to be part of those few good men and women. I want the church to grow. I want lives to change. I want to be full of the Spirit of God tonight. Come on down tonight. I want to enlist the committed. I want us to say, Pastor Jerry, Brother Ricky, Brother Jonathan, I'm going to help you. I'm going to lift your hands. I'm going to help work. You don't have to put me under conviction. God is going to tug on my heart. And I'm just going to say, Lord, here I am. Oh, Father, tonight we lift our hands and our hearts to you. Lord, it doesn't matter our age. Some of you may be in your 60s. Some of you may be in your 70s. Some may be in your 80s here tonight. Brother Tedder is in his 80s. Some of you are teenagers and 20-somethings and 30-somethings. We got Adam Fulgham, who's a teenager from Brother Adam on up to Brother Tedder. God's just looking a few good men. If you can't do anything, you can pray. You can say, Lord, I'm here. Use me. God, I bless your name tonight. Oh, I praise you tonight. I'm part of a few, the chosen, the proud. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. Oh, God, thank you, Lord. I'm not just involved, but I'm committed to the church. I'm committed to my marriage. If you're married tonight, find your spouse and just tell them, I'm still committed to you. To death do part. I'm going with you all the way. I'm not going to take any detours. Oh, God, I thank you tonight, Lord, for husbands who love their wives as Christ loved the church. Wives who honor and reverence their husbands. Oh, God, thank you, Lord, for strong families. Thank you, Lord, for grandparents that will bring their grandchildren to church. Thank you for Sunday school teachers. Thank you for Royal Ranger and girls ministry leaders. Oh, God, we need more to enlist. Oh, God, thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our church. We pray for revival. We pray for revival.